So this is the first of a projected two shiurim on the food and location of Erev Chatzeros. We're not going to get through the discussion of the food today. The food is going to bleed over into Tuesday, and then we'll discuss Makom in Tuesday as well. But we begin with the Mishnah that's actually on Chav Vav Amud Beis. It's the beginning of Perek Gimel. Even though this may not be about Erev Chatzeros at this moment, you have to start with this Mishnah. The Mishnah says, "Bakol ma'arvin u'mishtatfin chutz min hamayim min hamelach," that you can use any food for Eruv, you can use any food for Shituf Himavos, other than water and salt. So the truth is that when you look at this Mishnah in context, this parak is not about Erev Chatzeros, this parak is about Erev Tchumen. And so what it's likely saying, and according to most Mefarshim, what it's saying is that you can use any food for Erev Tchumen and Shitufei Mavolos. That's the standard way to read it. That's the way Tosus reads it. That's the way the Rambam in his Perashim Mishnayos reads it. And it's fairly logical. Nonetheless, source base is Rashi. Bakol ma'arvin Eruvei Chatzeros u'tchumen. Rashi says that the view of the Tana of this Mishnah is that any food may be used for Erev Chatzeros, and that's going to fit his read of the Gemara and Pe'alef, which we're going to see shortly. Rashi believes that there's a Machlokas Tanoim on this point. I think Rashi agrees in practice that it's supposed to be only bread for Erev Chatzeros, which is what the rest of the world thinks, but he believes that it's a Machlokas Tanoim. That's my understanding. The next piece to see is the brisa that appears on Ayin Aleph Amud Beis, which I brought you in Source Gimel, which says, Ma'arvin b'chatzeros b'pas. Erev Chatzeros is bread. V'imratzu arv b'yayin ein ma'arvin. And if you want to use wine, don't. Why do you need to say that at all? Because of the next line. Mishtatin b'mavui b'yayin. That for shituvei mavolos, for wine, for a mavui, that you actually do with wine. V'imratzu mishtatin b'pas mishtatin. If you want, you can use bread. And I'm going to come back to that, I expect, when we get to shituvei mavolos, to discuss whether it's preferable to actually use wine or whether wine is just another option that may be used. But this brisa tells us it's bread for Eruv. The next stop, and the primary stop in this tour, is Daf Pei Amud Beis, the Mishnah from Perek Zayin Halacha Yud in Erevin, and that is Source Dalet. Bakol ma'arvin u'mishtatfin chutz min hamayim min hamelach divrei Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer's position is you can use whatever you want, or that's what it sounds like right now, for Eruv, and here it is, Eruv Chatzeros. We assume this Mishnah is not in the context of Eruv Tchumen, this is Eruv Chatzeros Mishnah. Any food you want, it appears. That's Rabbi Eliezer's position. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, kikar hu Eruv. Rabbi Yeshua says a loaf, meaning bread, but possibly meaning more than that. Then he says, afu mafes sa'avu prusa ein ma'arvin ba. Kikar ki isaru shalim ma'arvin bo. He says that when you use bread, it has to be whole, even if it's a sa'ah in volume, which is a large amount. If it's a slice of bread, you can't use it. If it's not a whole loaf, you can't use it. On the other end, if it's a loaf of bread, then even if it's the size of an iser, which is a small coin, nonetheless, if it's complete, ma'arvin bo, you can use it for the eruv. There's a lot to say on this Mishnah. But first, I want to walk through the Gemara on it and its understanding of the bakols. So there are at least two strong ways to read this Gemara. There's a Rashi approach and there's a Tosus approach. I'm going to stick with the Rashi approach in the interest of time, but it's worth walking through this, frankly, from Tosus' perspective as well. But going with Rashi's read of it, which is going to be consistent with his read of the Mishnah back in Source Aleph, and I added words in brackets in this in Source Hay. In order to make it comply with Rashi's read. So, Taneina Chada Zimna, we learned once, Bakol ma'arvin u'mishtatfin chutz min hamayim v'hamelach, says that you can use everything for Eruv, aside from water and salt. And therefore, I don't need Rabbi Eliezer's position. Rabbi Eliezer's position was a given already, back on the Chav Vav Amud Beis. So Amar Rabba answers that we needed to say this here, La'afuke midi Rabbi Yoshua da'amar kikar in midi achrina lo. We need to show where Rabbi Yoshua, we need to show that Rabbi Yoshua's belief, and this is Rashi's way to read it, that Rabbi Yoshua's belief is that you require bread for Eruv Tchumen as well as Eruv Chatzeros. As I added in brackets, Afilu be'eruv Tchumen. It wants to show you that Rabbi Yeshua is so extreme compared to Rabbi Eliezer. He says only Kikar, not only for Eruv Chatzeros, but also for Eruv Tchumen. Kamash Malan Bakol, so the word Bakol, Bakol Ma'arvin, teaches me that Rabbi Eliezer is going to disagree when it comes to Eruv Chatzeros and Eruv Tchumen, that it's a machlokas down the line. That's the way Rashi reads this line. To which Abaye then objects, and he says, "Esve Abaye, we learned a very problematic brisa. Bakol ma'arvin eruv chatzeros, ubakol mishtatvin shitufei mavolo." So there's no doubt about what eruv means in this brisa. Bakol, you can use everything for eruv chatzeros. Velo amru bepas ela b'chatzer bilvad. They only said bread for a chatzer. So now I don't understand. Right? Your brisa says, use everything for eruv chatzeros, but then it says, pas, it says, bread. So, man shamet le d'amar pas in midiach rinolo. Whose view is it going to be who says the latter half of that brisa, that you have to use bread? It's got to be Rabbi Yoshua. Right? Uketani bakol, but he says you can use everything. So clearly, bakol can't mean everything. If bakol meant everything, then he wouldn't be limiting it to bread. So what do I do? So the answer is going to have to mean that bakol means, as I wrote in the brackets, kol sugei pat, all kinds of bread. That all kinds of bread will be acceptable. That's what bakol actually means. And now maybe that's what Rabbi Eliezer means too. When Rabbi Eliezer makes his statement of bakol, maybe he also means all kinds of bread. Elam, a Rabba Bar Barchanas. Rabba Barchanas says, "You're right. La fuke mid Rabbi Yeshua, the mashlema in prusalo kamash molan bakol." The debate between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua is not bread versus other items. Rather, the debate is: does it have to be a whole loaf or not? Rabbi Yeshua believes it has to be a whole loaf, and Rabbi Eliezer is of the belief that it can even be a piece of bread. That's, I believe, the way to read this within Rashi. It was very hard to squeeze Rashi into this, honestly. Tuz is actually found to be easier. But the upshot of this is that both Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua agree that you need bread for Eruv Chatzeros. The machlokas is only regarding a whole loaf. Now, why should I require a whole loaf for Eruv Chatzeros? The whole goal of Eruv Chatzeros, right, we've talked about this before, is establishing dira. You're supposed to establish this is your location. So I could just as easily establish my location by having a bunch of slices of bread. Why do I need to have a whole loaf of bread? So source, Vav. Uprusa my time alone. The Gemara continues to ask, why not use a slice? Amar Yossi ben Shaul, Amar Rabbi Mishum Eva. So Yossi ben Shaul quotes Rabbi to say, because of concern for enmity. And the idea of enmity is universally explained to mean that if we're all going to participate in Erev Chatzeros, and I give a loaf of bread, and you guys give slices, I get annoyed. We're a bunch of freeloaders. I'm giving a nice loaf of bread, and all of you are just giving slices. So in order to avoid the enmity, we say, let everybody give a whole loaf. One might have suggested that in order to solve enmity, you could have made it easier for everybody. Let everybody get slices. And that way you avoid the problem. Say, no whole loaves. But nonetheless, that's the solution. So the logical question then comes up. Amalei Ravacha Bredi Rava L'Ravashi, Ravacha, son of Rava, asks Ravashi, Irvu Kulan Beprusos Ma'u, what if everybody uses slices? Right? Then, no enmity. So, Omar Lay, Shema Yasser Dabar Lakul, in other words, not as a prescription, but it just happened to be so, they all used slices. So, Omar Lay, Shema Yasser Dabar Lakul Kula. We're still concerned that things might go bad. I'm going to come back to what things might go bad means in a moment. I'm not quite ready for that just yet. But just to explain, we're concerned things might go bad, enmity might resolve. Lagos Marsham says, he's quoted in the Nesivah Shabbos in Lamed Aleph Ha'arach Chaf Tes, the end of Ha'arach Chaf Tes. He says, if everybody gives flour, which we're going to talk about later, using flour for the Erev Chatzeros, if everybody gives flour and you're short for the amount that you need, the threshold is you need X and you don't quite have it, so you need to complete it. He says, don't complete it by adding bread. Yeah, by adding a loaf of bread, because then that will cause kitata, that will cause strife all over again. People are going to, you know, the person who gave the bread is going to be annoyed. Everybody else gave little bits of flour, and I gave a loaf of bread. So he says you have to fill it in with flour.
They're going to be annoyed at you?
No, the person who gives the bread, who gives the loaf, will be annoyed.
Fine.
He's going to resent everybody.
Yeah,
he's going to give the loaf, but he's going to resent everybody else. Hey, why did I do that? You see this all the time.
Isn't that turning flour into a prusa, though?
So it is effectively turning flour into a prusa, which is the way it's looked at generally anyway.
Probably.
Meaning when we get to flour, we're going to have to deal with the fact that it sounds like everybody's giving a prusa. That's discussed in the Rishonim. But you see this all the time. You know, lest you say, well, it was his choice to give a loaf of bread. Why does he have any right to complain? The answer is people do that all the time. One of the most difficult issues for a family is when there's a family member, usually a parent, who is very ill and needs to be taken care of, and there's like one kid who lives in town and the others live out of town, and the one who's in town says, oh, absolutely, I love them, I'll take care of them, and so on. But then it causes a lot of bitterness between them and a lot of resentment between them because they may be volunteering to do it, but nonetheless they get very angry and resentful when others make suggestions or when they feel others aren't doing enough and so on and so forth. This is human nature. So that's the point that Agaz Marsham makes. As a matter of psak, we follow Rabbi Yoshua and we require a whole loaf, and the Rashba explains why. If you take a look at source Zion, he says, he says, the truth of the matter is that when we're dealing with Eruv, we're going to be lenient, and certainly we're dealing with Eruv Chatzeros, which is wholly a derabanan concoction. We're going to be nonetheless, here we're going to follow Rabbi Yoshua. The davka pas ushleima has to be bread, and it's got to be whole. Why? First of all, Rabbi Eliezer is a Talmud of Beis Shammai. So that's number one. He doesn't count. We're assuming that Shamuti means Talmud of Beis Shammai and not that he was in Cherem and so forth. And further, the Rabbi Mefarish Tamei de Rabbi Yoshua Umashma Desvir Lekavasei. Further, Rabbi in the Gemara explains Rabbi Yoshua's logic. He says it's Mishumeva. So why would he bother if we weren't paskening that way? V'od Deshaklin and Vitarin and Ali Bey. Further, the Gemara actually has a whole discussion based on his view about what's good, what's not good, what if they all use slices, right? Udra Chistanami, Damar Tafer Bekise, Marvin Lobakavasei Hazla, and Rav Chisda was going to ask the question, what if I have two pieces of bread, but I can attach them with a toothpick, and then they'll stick together, and they look like they're whole, does that count? That only is a question if you're accepting the view of Rabbi Yoshua, that it has to be whole. So Kamash Malan, this does indeed indicate to us that what we're talking about is that we're going to paskin like Rabbi Yoshua. So that's indeed what we do, and the Rambam in Hechos Erev in Perek Aleph Halachaches, as well as the Shulchan Aruch in Shin Samach Vavav, they follow Rabbi Yeshua, they require a whole loaf. Mind you, the Rambam is going to have a unique view regarding this loaf of bread, but we'll have to come back to that. Is there really no room for other foods? So the answer is, if you believe Rabbi Kiva Eger and many other Acharonim, you betcha. There is no room for other foods for Eruv Chatzeros. The Rabbi Kiva Eger was asked the question in source Ches, and he went to town on the guy. He said, I got your letter. V'naros niflesi. He said, I was shocked. Al hora so, regarding his, meaning your honor, the person who wrote the letter, I was shocked at your ruling. You ruled that they could use a oily salt water. Don't ask me why. I guess they had nothing else around. But a mixture of oil, water, and salt. Is it a colloid? An emulsion? Is it a colloid, no? Oil, they don't...
It's salad dressing.
It's salad dressing. Right, but it's going to separate out.
Dipping oil? That's what salad dressing is. You have to mix
right.
It. You have to shake it.
Yeah, okay.
I said that's what it is. It's a dressing. It's
right. So he says, how in the world could you accept that? Neged kol ha'poskim, rishonim v'achronim. He says, don't you know it's bread? And he says, they all challenge Rashi on this point, that Rashi that we saw in the beginning in source base. It's explicit Gemara. And as far as your statement that you can depend on that Rashi, Rashi, Rashi first of all, was not paskening. He was just trying to explain what's stated in the Mishnah. That does not mean that Rashi actually holds it. That's the halachic conclusion. As it will be explained before us. Gam, and meaning the rest of his tshuva. Gam, af im hayim mefurish kein barashi lahalacha ulamaisa. Mikomakom achrei datosus v'cholam yishonim dachul adivrei Rashi misugim mefureshas pshita de'ein lasos maisa negdam. He says, even if you have Rashi on your side, you have no one else named Rishon. they forget it. There's no option of using olive oil or other items. And that's, you know, the trend among the Achronim is, no, it's really supposed to be bread, although when we get to the end, which is going to end up being next week, we will then discuss possible justifications for using foods other than bread. So this is not, even though Rabbi Akiva Eger sounds like he's the last word on it, he's actually not. Okay. General rule, though, is we require bread and we require a whole loaf. So what I want to do is first define bread and then define whole loaf before we can get into how much bread is required, what is the shear. So, first of all, what exactly qualifies as bread? So the Gemara in Source Tes, from that same sugya in Erevin Pei Aleph Amud Aleph, I couldn't resist. The Amar Rabbi Zera, Amar Shmuel, Ma'arvin Mepas Orez Mepas Dochan. So Rabbi Zera quotes Shmuel and he says, you use rice bread, that's fine. In other words, bread does not mean hamotzi. Rice bread is fine. Millet bread is fine. The Amar Marukva Lididi Mifresh Aliminei the Mar Shmuel Bepasar is Ma'arvin Mepas Dochan in Ma'arvin. Marukva says my Kabbalah from Shmuel is no, use rice bread, but you don't use millet bread. So, well, let's do the whole sugya first and then come back to the rice and the millet. Amar Chia Bar Avin, Amar Rav, Chia Bar Avin says, quoting, Rav Ma'arvin Bepas Hadashim, you can use lentil flour, bread made out of lentil flour. Ini Vahahi Dehavoy Bishani Demar Shmuel Vishadi Lakabe Velo Achla, but they made such bread with lentil flour in the days of Shmuel. Tosfos says, I added in brackets, they wanted to know what it would taste like. Because it's in a pasuk in Yechezkel that says that you're supposed to, well, Hashem tells Yechezkel to make bread out of this whole mix of flours, including lentil flour. So they wanted to know what it would taste like, Tosfos says. They also had a science and Torah experiment day. So they did it. Vishadi lekalve, he threw it to the dog, velo achla, and the dog refused to eat it. So what do you mean, telling me that you could use lentil flour bread? So the answer is, no. That wasn't just lentil flour bread. That's what you call multi-grain bread. It was made out of multiple species, and that was just inedible. Dichsiv, like the pasuk in Yechezkel that we draw on, he has to take wheat, barley, beans, lentils, millet, whatever we're going to call kusmim, let's call them spelt just for fun, and so on. Rav Papa Amar, so that's the answer to why it was inedible. It wasn't just about being lentil bread. Rav Papa gives a different answer. Rav Papa Amar,
sluya betzaras adam havoi. He's a good answer, honestly.
Yeah, he says it's because you have to read the whole section. Well, the problem is if you don't know Yechezkel, who would know? He says because it was actually roasted using excrement coals. Dichsiv, as the pasuk says, v'hi begilei tzoas ha'adam t'ugena le'inehem. The pasuk says that you're supposed to make it into an ugah, you're supposed to bake it with gilei tzoas ha'adam, using excrement. So that was what made it gross, and that's also why they didn't try eating it.
That's making that, these coals are actually...
I hope it's just that they're making it with, you're making it with coals. I have to think that that's what it is. Yes, correct. So the answer is Yechezkel's bread was actually not edible, which is funny, and that's why I added the picture, because there is this company when before Amram was born. Karen used to get this, the sprouted wheat bread, this Ezekiel brand. They make bread using all these multiple things, and they claim that you see it right on the label, Ezekiel 4:9 as their source. So lo and behold, someone got a recipe out of Tanakh.
They make it with human feces, right?
Right. So
the real experience.
I think that one's only available at specialty stores. But yeah, someone thinks Ezekiel bread is edible. In any case. The Gemara's statement is not to. First of all, we don't use millet. So the Mishnah Brura explains why yes to rice and yes even to lentils, but not yes to millet. In source Yud, he says v'pas orez va'adashim shederach ha'olam le'efoso le'ochlo, because that's the way of the world. They bake these things and they eat them mashenkim bedochan, as opposed to millet. Nobody's making millet bread. Mishnah didn't invent this. This is Rabbi Yonasan on the Rif on Erevin. It's Chafaf and Aleph in the Dapei Harif. If you want to take a look, people don't make bread out of dochan. The Nesiva Shabbos also mentions two others, quoting the Bir Alacha, which I brought you here in Source Yud Aleph. The Bir Alacha in Shin Samach Vav, Upasavaris Vahadashim, says you could also use Vahu Adin, Vipas Tatarki, Upas Turkisi Vites, also known as Turkish wheat. These also will count. What are these things? So interestingly, Turkish wheat is actually corn. Turkish wheat is what we call, not what the Europeans call corn, what we call corn. How did it gain the name Turkish wheat? So I found two sources online. I was too tired when I got to making the source sheet, so I didn't include them. But one source says it's because when Columbus brought it to Europe, and it was like, this is from far away, so they called it Turkish wheat. Others call it Indian maize or Indian corn, which makes more sense because he thought he was going to the Indies. On the other hand, I found another reference which said it was because Turkish caravans were the ones who actually brought it, not in Columbus's day, but later on, Turkish caravans carried it, and therefore it gained that name. That's the other approach. Okay. In any case, Turkish wheat is corn, so he means cornbread. And then the other one here, tatarki, according to Nesiva Shabbos, is spelt, but I've seen others render it as buckwheat. I don't know, what tatarki is, or even what language tatarki is. So, of course, the question that comes to mind is, you're telling me all of these things work, right? They're not hamotzi things. But they work if people normally make them as bread. So what if people start making other things into bread?
Like millet.
You know, like millet, exactly. So I brought you the Prima Gadim in Source Yud Beis, not on Hilchos Erev Chatzeros, but on Hilchos Brachos. V'harav Rabbeinu Yona Kasav Depas Orez V'dochan, Ki Sover Dochan Gamkein Bori Minei Mizonos. Rabbeinu Yona says that you're going to make a mizonos on both rice bread and millet bread. Kasav the pas oras vidochan bari minim zonos v'sover shederach lasos midochan pas kamo ba oras. He says they make millet bread. Abal hamachaber pasak dochan shahakol, but the Shulchan Aruch says no, it's a shahakol v'afilu pas, even if they make it into a bread. Dein derach lasos menu pas kamo me oras, because no one makes bread out of that. He says v'yesh lomar ein chokin b'mitzius v'yesh lomar mekamos shani. It could be that where Rabbeinu Yona lived, they made millet bread. Where the Shulchan Aruch lived, they did not make millet bread. Ulefizet, he says, based on this, Pasha osin mi Turkishin vites, v'kama komos, v'nishtanel, or v'turkisin, v'nishtanel iluya ma'od, v'derech rak lasos menu pas lo lechol tavshoi menu, im king kasha, etc. He says, well, in that case, they make cornbread, and that's the only thing they're using the corn for, is to make cornbread. So, in that case, does that change the bracha for it? You should make a bar priya dam on it versus making a shahakol. He's not suggesting mizonos. It won't convert it into a mizonos. But you should make a bar priya dam.
Why would Dochan make a mizonos?
Because Dochan has that weird in-between status in the Gemara itself.
Oh, right, like ours.
Yeah.
He's talking, you should make it into bread or like southern cornbread. Would they consider that?
I don't know enough to know the difference between the two things. What do you mean?
Well, I mean, you've had cornbread before.
Yes.
Do you consider that bread? Is that what they're talking about here?
No, the cornbread that we make is more like a cake.
Right.
So I'm envisioning something that's more bread-like. Okay. I don't know if they're adding yeast to, or what they're doing. Adding gluten? Yeah. I don't know if it's rising. I don't know. What is Matthias is. Okay. So the point that I bring this for, though, is to show there is a recognition that products can change and shift like that, and presumably if all you require is that people call it pas, and you don't require it to be amotzi, so if they start making bread out of dochan, gesunt hay. Yeah, that's what it would seem like to me. The Aruch HaShulchan also notes, according to the Darchei Moshe, that we accept pas habavakisnin, right? Mizonos, which becomes hamotzi in the event that you make your meal around it. Since so Yigimel, umatzasi v'darkei Moshe, b'shem Rabbeinu Yeruchim, dema'ar v'nafilu v'lachmaniyot, ayin sham, v'zeu pas habavakisnin. Lachmaniyot to him does not mean rolls. Lachmaniyot to him means what they think of as mizonos rolls. Those who believe in such things. Shebir chasab v'arim v'nei mizonos.
It could just mean any pas habavakisnin.
Correct.
It could literally mean a...
Right, no, yes. It simply means bread-like things that aren't bread.
Right, okay. Maybe I misheard that. I thought you were saying that means mizonos rolls.
Lav davka?
Right.
Lav davka. But Mizuno's things that have bread-like structure.
Right.
Which ends up being pasta. Right. That's in other words, I'm not sure where you draw your line when you use the phrase Mizuno's rolls, because...
My mind is the things that you say Amotsian, but...
Right. So
or not, whatever.
But that's... All right. Let me leave out that discussion. That's too long. Okay. But the bottom line is, if people call it bread, it's bread. That's the upshot. It does not need to be a hamotzi bread. Okay.
It's generally used for the concept of bread, basically?
Yeah. As an anchor for a meal. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. The other big question that we have to deal with before we get to the what, you know, what's the shear that you need, is the business of requiring a whole loaf. What is this business of a whole loaf? So here I thought something interesting, and then I was happy to find support for my theory in the Shari Knesset HaGadola. Found it quite by accident. When we say we're worried about Eva, right? We're worried about causing enmity. And on that basis, we're going to insist that now you have to use whole loaves of bread. Could you argue that that actually goes back to the question that we discussed weeks ago about why you do Erev Chatzeros? Right? Meaning, we have the mainstream sort of approach that says it's because of confusion, where people might get confused because the Chatzer looks like a Rosh Hasharabim, and therefore they think you can carry Rosh Hasharabim to Rosh Hasharabim. It's a very technical, dry issue of confusion about Hotzah. Or the Rishalmi said that the goal is shalom, because you require someone to go into people's houses and get bread, and they have a chance to talk to them, and they say nice things, and that makes peace between people. So I wondered if the reason why Eva plays such a big role here is because of the Rishalmi's view that it's that the point of Erev is shalom, or you could argue that maybe the concern for Eva is actually that he isn't going to merge with a full heart. In other words, it's a technical consideration. If he's angry, I gave a whole loaf and they gave slices, he's not actually going to merge with them properly. So that was just my own note in here as a question mark. And then, lo and behold, the Shari Knesset HaGadola, who makes a very interesting deal with the support of Rashi, to distinguish between Eva and Hakpada. If you take a look at Source Yedalad, the Shari Knesset HaGadola, which I was very happy to find, is actually on the Bar Ilan, which is a nice advance. Umiu betam hadavar shakasav maharil zal du'ula yakpidu. He says the Maharil writes that the reason not to use slices is maybe people will be makbid. The makbid al eruvo ein eruvo eruv, right? Which was what I suggested as the second approach. Right? Then maybe it's that people will actually be mad, but they don't want to share with the others. He says, "Ein nira kemi divrei Talmud." He says, that's not what the Gemara seems to be saying. The Ka'amar Mishum Eva, the Gemara said the issue is Eva, the issue is enmity. Upirish Rashi Zal, Sheboli de Machlokis. And Rashi said it's going to cause strife. Beinatam Mishum Hakpada could have caused the Ma'aril. The issue is not what the Ma'aril said. The issue is simply enmity between people. So I think that's exactly it. It divides on the lines of why do you want an Erev Chatzeros. If the goal of Erev Chatzeros is a technical issue of we need everybody to merge their property, so it's clear this isn't a Rosh Hasharabim and so forth, then your concern is Hakpada, like what the Ma'aril writes. If your goal is let's bring people together, so then Eva would defeat that purpose by Allah the Yerushalmi, and that's what the Shari Knesset HaGadola is noting. Okay. In any case, we want you to use a whole loaf. What exactly, though, is this business about kilkul? This concern for, if everybody uses slices, still, shema yachzer davar lekilkula. What exactly is the kilkul that we are concerned about having happen? So there are two ways, I think, to look at it. I would have explained that kilkul simply means that if we permit doing this now, then people will also permit it where not everybody does slices. In other words, if all of us are in an Erev Chatzeros, right, and we're all contributing slices, so technically it works. However, on the day when Yisrael Meir shows up with a whole loaf, now we're out of luck, right? That would have been my simple read of it. However, I think the Rashba is actually saying something different in his explanation of Shem Yisrael Dabra LaKilkula. If you take a look, I brought you the Rashba here in Tes Vav. He says, Umistavra, it's logical to say, Dekevan de'ein tam la prusa elemishum eva. Since the only reason for excluding the prusa is enmity, Ve'ilu irvu kulan beprusa havi eruv. And therefore, theoretically, if everybody used a prusa, it would work. Ilav gzera de shemiyach davar lekukula. Well, if not, I'm sorry, I need to give you the context. He's dealing with the issue of kemach. He's dealing with the question of whether you're allowed to have everybody give flour for the eruv. So he says, it's logical to say that the whole concern for prusa is fundamentally an eva concern. So that really, theoretically, there's no reason why you shouldn't be able to do with a prusa. It's not for shamayach davar lekukula. So he says, hacha sahir, meaning when you're talking about gathering flour from everybody and then baking it off, lekala migzer midi. So we don't need to have any gezera of shamayach davar lekukula. Dekevan shemitzdarfen bekemach, since they're using flour, meaning not slices. And you can make whole loaves out of it. Ein kan eva. There will be no enmity. In other words, no one ever sees a slice. Vafilu tomar. And if you're going to say kilu b'sof yifrasu osamim tzaparos biad kolecha, and if you're going to say, well, you know, people are going to eat it, they're going to slice it up. Anu ein lanu ela shloye paros b'shas hanacha. We only care about what it's like at the time that you create it. We're not going to go that far with Eruv. He says, we're not going to go so far as to say, well, since you're eventually going to get a piece, and when you each get a piece, then we're concerned lest you do it with Prusos. The goof exera, shamayal zavala kakul, the whole thing is less that go back to its kilkul. In other words, what I believe the Rashba is suggesting is that shamayal zavala kakul means lest people use slices. The concern is not, don't do this, because if people ever use slices, then you'll have a problem. It's don't do this, because it will induce people to use slices. That's the framework.
It's interesting that they use that language, because when you compare it to the Gemara in Beitza about Sveka Diyoma, it's talking about a historical context, that unless we go back to that.
Yeah.
And here it's not like that at all. It's the same wording, though.
Yeah. Correct.
That's why that's part of the reason why he's saying this, because they would have tried to force it into that, maybe.
Yes. That I hear. Maybe. It is. I didn't look to see where else we use the phrase shemach davar lekukula and what the framework is that's used. It will be an interesting question.
Yeah.
Okay. So the Rashba's understanding is this may lead them to use slices. That's the way he understands it. Okay. Note that there are cases in which we approve slices anyway, and we ignore this concern for kilkul. And I'll give you three examples for this. Number one, the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah says, what if people give rolls of different sizes? Right? It's not so much that we approve slices. We're not approving slices here, but we ignore kilkul. So what if people are going to give loaves of different sizes? Now what? So Mishnah Berurah says, doesn't matter. You're okay. And the Siva Shabbos in Lavad Aleph HaArachav Tes says the same thing about different quantities of flour. It's also brought regarding breads of different quality. Nonetheless, we're not worried about... it's not really about kilkul concerns. We're not concerned about Eva, is really what I should say. So that's number one. Number two, a second example would be, and this is the classic that gets discussed, what if one is mezakeh for everybody? The Shulchan Aruch writes, citing the Rosh and the Mordechai, what if we're all living on the chatzer, but I don't want to go ask everybody to contribute, I'm just going to give my own bread, and I will declare this is for everybody. And that's that. So the Shulchan Aruch writes, So fine, I can just easily use a slice. There's no enmity involved.
Do they literally mean one slice, or... There's no package of...
A big slice, but a slice,
right.
Yeah.
Very big slice.
Yeah. Or it means a loaf that is sliced. Either one is
like
legit.
Go get the,
right. Now, the truth of the matter is that the Shulchan Aruch... Yes, the truth of the matter is that the Shulchan Aruch is not agreed to by everybody. Number one, I would think the Rashba would disagree. Right? The Rashba says, don't use slices, it's going to cause people to use slices. So I don't see why he would be any better in this situation. That's number one. I think he would have concern about Kilkul. Number two, Rabbi Graus in Perek Yud Gimel HaArachav quotes Ma'aril in Eruv HaTzeres Dalet to say Lo Plug, which I did see in the Ma'aril. He actually he does say that. He also quotes a bunch of other Achronim who I didn't look at, but Ayin Sham in the Rabbi Graus book. We also see that the Ramah emphasizes using a whole loaf when you use flour. We're going to talk about this when we talk about contributing flour. So the Ramah, like the Ravid, is going to say you can have everybody contribute flour, but you have to bake it into a whole loaf of bread. So the Sefer HaChaim, who is quoted in that Ha'ara in Rabbi Graus, wonders whether here also you shouldn't require a whole loaf. Part of that will depend on why the Ramah and the Ravid require a whole loaf. So we have to talk about that when we get there.
Require a whole loaf in general, you mean?
No, when you make flour, when you contribute flour. Whether the reason is the Rashba's concern, or whether the reason is a low plug. Either way, those are both concerns that I've mentioned now here, regarding the Shulchan Aruch statement that you can use slices. Maybe you really shouldn't use slices, either because of low plug, or because Shemayach Zdav Lo Kilkulo, you're going to induce Kilkul. That's the second. The Sherek Nesagadola has the third case, in which maybe we're not concerned for Eva, and that's where you're ma'arev just yourself. If you take a look at Tzoras Yiches, v'raisi v'drashos ma'aril, kasab, .. v'afilu yache, and this is where I end up seeing the Sherek Nesagadola that I mentioned before, it's on that same sieve. He says, the ma'aril wrote, v'afilu yache ha'ma'arev, even if an individual is doing the Eruv, Deleka hakpadas. There's no issue of hakpada. Mikomakom lo yarev b'prusa rak b'lechem shalei mishum de lo plug. He says it doesn't matter. You should still use only a whole loaf. V'nira mitvarav d'altzada yoser tov ka'amar. He says he's saying this is the best way. This is the good way to avoid problems. V'u tamud aruch etz gemara in erevin. Deleka lememar demayri kishe'ev.
What's he talking about? Yachad amar.
So that's what he's getting to now. We don't mean where is one person doing it for everybody, the case I just said. Then you can use a prusa, he says. And the Shulchan Aruch. He says the case you're talking about is a guy doing it himself. Hang on. Because you can only prove what you should do from the Gemara where you have multiple people. But when an individual does it, you could presumably use a piece. I'm thinking of somebody else, so I'll just mention it here. The case of Yachad Hama'arev would be, for example, if there are two of us living on the Chatzer, and I'm going to put food in your house. So you don't need to contribute. I'm the Yachad Hama'arev.
Oh, that would be the case.
Yeah. It comes up later. I thought it came up here, but it's going to come up later.
There's two people, and one of them is the host, and one of them is putting the food.
Yeah.
Right. That would be the only...
As soon as you go over two people, then it's the Robin case?
Well, then you have Robin, because then you have possibly the Pada.
And then you have Zabin.
Right, okay.
Right. And it's the same as what we just said.
It's not literally a Yachi, because that doesn't make any sense.
Right, it's Yachi, and maybe Zabin is the same as the other case.
Right.
How does he know the Maharil doesn't mean a case of Zikui?
Because he says he can't possibly. The Rosh and the Mordechai and everybody else all say that you're allowed to use.
Doesn't make the Maharil possible to play.
Correct. That's his assumption.
Wait, not terrible. Does the Maharil actually directly weigh in on it? I mean, probably does, actually.
Does who, sorry?
Does the Maharil weigh in on those cases? He probably does, but.
I don't remember. I would think that if he did, then he would have quoted it here instead of saying, well, the Rosh says.
Or just assume that he follows the Ashkenazi.
Yeah.
Tzak.
Yeah.
Which he usually does, but there's no guarantee.
Yeah. So that's what he says. He says, Lachim ba ma'aril zalomar afilu yachad ma'ariv tzarech la'ariv b'shleima mishum de lo plug. That's what he says the ma'aril is saying. And then he says, V'yeira, it appears, lefiza, who I think she'achad mezakeh l'kulam tzarech pashleima mishum de lo plug. Right, the case that we just talked about, actually. So I'm sorry. Now he's going to end up pitting the Ma'aril against him even in that case. The other way around. He's going the other way. He says, number one, I think the Ma'aril statement would have been in the case in which there's just one guy doing the Eruv. Because everybody else said otherwise when it came to the individual doing it for everybody. However, now that we said that the Ma'aril says that when it's a guy doing it alone, he should use Shlema, Kavachomer, you should also say that one is doing it on behalf of everybody, he should use Shlema, because now there's a community there. And therefore, now I'm going to take the Ma'aril and pit him against the Rosh and the Mordechai, who I didn't want to initially when I analyzed the case, but I guess I have to. That's the way that the Shari Knesset Gedolah does it. That's right. Okay. So that's a third case. So three cases in which we ignore Eva concerns potentially. One is roles of different sizes, the quality, sizes, you know, whatever, or different quantities of flour if we're using flour. The second is one is mezaka for everybody, according to Shulchan Aruch Rosh Mordechai. And then the third would be the other side, not the Shereg Knesset Gedolah side, but the other side, where it's where one is Ma'ari for himself. The Shereg Knesset Gedolah says, I want you to use a whole, but the other side of it. Got it? Okay. That's the idea. So three different cases. Okay. So defining, that's in terms of just the whole loaf requirement and the concern for Eva and Kilkel. So what exactly do you mean when you say it has to be whole? So I'm not going to go into the issue of the two pieces that are joined together with the toothpick, as entertaining as that is. It is a fun discussion regarding the Mishnah. But the first question that I want to address is, how long does it have to be whole? So this takes us back to our Mishnah again that appeared on Payamud Beis, source Yud Tes. He says, Nismaita ochel, if the food is reduced, at some point there is less food than there was before, which I would have assumed could have meant it shrunk, but actually we're going to see later the implication is going to be that it broke and some part of it was taken away, whatever it was. So Mosif umezake ve'ein tzarech laodiyah. So you add, you have to now put back. And you can do it on behalf of everybody. You don't have to go telling everybody that something happened to the Erev Chatzeros and get everybody to re-up for it. Nitos Foleim, what if there are new residents? Mosif Umezake, then you add, and you have to Umezake to everybody. Vitzarach Lodia, and you also have to inform them. So we'll talk about the added residents later. I'm not ready for that. But that's the statement of this Mishnah. If it's Nitzma'it, you need to add back to it. I actually thought that I had brought the rest of the Mishnah here, but I see I did not. In the rest of the Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi says, I'll have to edit, that that's only betchila. That we say this. Yeah, one second. I'm gonna just pull it up here. That was supposed to be there, but I see why I did it. It's because the Bar Ilan breaks up the Mishnah. It breaks it up into three parts, that's why. So I accidentally quoted that one part. Okay, so Rabbi Yossi says, after they discuss shear for just how large it has to be, Rabbi Yossi says, "Bamed dvar mamurim, when is this true? B'tchilas Eruv," that's at the beginning. "Avo b'shiare Eruv, kol shu," but the remainder can be kol shu. And then further, "Volo amur la'ariv ha-chateros, elegedesh la'ashka chasetinokos," you actually don't need Eruv chateros when you actually do from Mevoos, except that we're worried about them not knowing about it. That's a separate thing. But the point really is that he says, this requirement that it be whole, and not, sorry, that it be whole, that it be the shear, is only in the beginning. But if you have a remainder, and you've already used it, you know, and as an intact one, you've already set up an intact one, that's okay. So how long exactly does it have to remain in one piece? So there are three different views. The first view says it's just about hanacha. You put it in, you made your bracha, you set it up with the right shear, you're done. And that's what the Magen Avraham quotes from the Ma'aril in Source Chaf. V'imnishpar ha'eruv, if it breaks, afilu kodim shenichna Shabbos vishona, even if it's before the first Shabbos, shari, it's good, kevin divishas hanacha yashalim, because at the time that you set it up, it was intact.
I would have thought that, I mean, he's commenting on Nismayet, but I would have thought Nishpar is different than Nismayet. Why is
yes.
Nishbar not just a prusa issue?
So
that's what we were talking about the other day. It was late.
But the answer is that yes, they're going to be mixing and matching discussions of shear and discussions of breaking. Mm-hmm. and becoming a slice. They're gonna go back and forth between the two. So right now it sounds like right now we're just talking about it being shalem. Then we have to come back to talking about shir. So he says that hanacha is sufficient, and we saw that in the Rashba also. Right, the Rashba that we saw on the flour and the question of whether they're going to bake it and they're going to slice it. So he said, that's okay. It was whole of time of Hanacha. I'm good with that. That's really all I care about. The second view is the view paskened in the Shulchan Aruch, and that is we care about when it first was effective, which is Shabbos Rishona. So the Shulchan Aruch paskens in source Chaf Aleph Shin Tamaches Dalet in the Shulchan Aruch Nismayit Mishiuro Acha Shenichna Shabbos Rishona. If it's smaller than the Shear now, after the first Shabbos began, Vinishtayibo Afilu Kolshu, but some part remains Kasher Aflashar Shabbosos Kasher even for other Shabbosos. Now there again, he says Nismayit, reduced in size. However, the Mishnah Berurah commenting on it in source Chaf Beis assumes that the same thing applies regarding slices. Presumably because, how else was it nismait? He's assuming, that's how I mentioned before, that it's, because of breakage. He says, so he makes the application to Prusa. He says, even though we say that you're not supposed to use a piece, that's where it was a Prusa from the beginning. When you set it up as an Erev. Here we're good. And then he says, Yesh Machmirin, nonetheless, that if you have time, you should really, go back and do a new whole loaf. That's Mishnah Berurah's statement. The Rav Paalim, the Ben Ish Chai, has a tshuva here, which I thought was very interesting. It's Chelek Aleph Arachayim Zayin. He asks a question regarding Kilayim. He says, in Kilayim, if I have two areas to plant in, and in between them there's a boundary, and the boundary is the proper height, so I can plant on both sides. At some point, the boundary shrinks. The boundary is reduced, gets knocked over, whatever it is. So I'm not allowed to plant any further. So he asks, why can't it be grandfathered for Kilayim, like for Erev? Right? Erev was fine the first Shabbos. Now, suddenly, it's no good anymore. Why can't you say for... I'm sorry. It was fine for the first Shabbos, and now we're still going to be okay carrying... using the Erev Chatzeros, even though it was reduced. So why can't I say the same thing regarding Kilayim, that you should be that you should be fine?
Sorry about the full-blown derisive Kilayim?
I think so. He's quoting Rishalmi, the story about Kilayim straight. So he explains that for Kilayim, you're doing a new action when you go plant. For Shabbos, it comes in on its own. You perform no new action. That's his distinction. So it's just an outgrowth of the previous Shabbos. Planting, every time you're going to come plant, it's something brand new. I'm going to come back to his tshuva later for a second piece of his tshuva. That's it.
We're just saying this is a little different.
Right.
That's
why would you...
Yeah. You didn't say nothing yet. Wait till you see his second part. But that's the second approach. The first approach is it just requires, just has to be hold of the time of Hanacha. The second view is that it has to be the first Shabbos, of the first Shabbos. And then the third view is actually the whole Hector doesn't work. It has to last forever. Forget what Rabbi Yossi told you. And I believe he's quoting Maharam Rutenberg. He's the Ramam, I believe, is Rabbi Rutenberg. Is quoted by the Magen Avraham in Shin Samaches Gimel. He says, "Ibuchuas Ramam Kasav Dim Nishbara Filu Acher Shabbos Rishona Tov Lasos Acher." He says, "I don't care if it waited through the first Shabbos. You still need to make another one." He says, "Tov at any rate." The Tamo, and the reason is Dahadisna Nishtayer Kol Shu Kosher. When we say that if it remains at any level, it's kosher. Hainu Shalem. That means it has to be a complete Kol Shu. It's a Kol Shu loaf, right?
Yeah.
It's whole. It's just really small. When you look at it with your jeweler's loop, you see that it's a whole loaf. Inami, alternatively, Dechol, I'm going to come back to that when we have to discuss what actually kol shehu means. But inami, dechol shenishbar kodem Shabbos v'yeshos lasas achre mikvit chilas erev. Alternatively, because as long as there is an opportunity to make a new one, it's not called nishtayer. It's actually called chilas erev, and therefore you're supposed to make a new one. That's what the Maharam says. The Magen Avraham says that was really funny. He said, first of all, I don't know what you're talking about. The Shulchan Aruch was fine with this idea that it once it's been for one Shabbos, it's good afterwards. We just quoted it before.
The whole idea of Shiraim.
Yeah, and he says Gama Shekasav de Kol Shu Hainu Shalem. His statement that Kol Shu equals complete, Hu Dochak Beinai. He says I think that's a little bit of a stretch. Lachay Nira Li Kemaharil. So he says if you ask me, I side with the Maharil who said Hanacha was sufficient. Once it's complete at the time of Hanacha, the time that you place it, you don't have to worry about anything else. The Umikomakom Nira Li. However, it does appear to me. Dimlo nisher bo kashir puzzle. That if you don't have a shear, it's going to be, which is a separate concern, not the slice concern now, it's going to be puzzle. Didamka kisha osin shituf o iru o ha'erav rak shalo lashka chatinokos lachein kasher b'chol shu. He says, if you don't have a shear, it's going to be puzzle because the reason why we would accept kol shu is just because you don't really need an Erev at all. The only reason we're doing Erev is that people don't forget there's such a thing as Erev. But we're really doing Shituf. Aval Adidan, but for us, apparently for, you know, in his town, they're not doing a Shituf. Apostle, then it will be no good. Ve'efshar d'zeu tamo shel haramam b'simen nun ches.
The brother's not doing a Shituf in his town. Right? He doesn't believe that.
Right, where he says that everybody makes a new one. They say not to make on a prusa, even if it was intact at the time of the hanach, and even if it has a shear, they aren't going to do it. That's the prusa discussion. That things may go bad, people are going to use slices. Fine. The point is that he says that that there is such a view that suggests no, you actually always need to make a new one, and he thinks that the idea to be strict may apply regarding a shear. Being that the heter, Rabbi Yossi's heter is only where you're doing a shikuf. Okay. And then he adds the nashim after davar lakukulo as additional justification for being strict regarding slices. Okay. It only needs to appear to be whole. It doesn't need to actually be whole. You can have.
He's saying this actual, like, mitzvah din that you would have to redo it.
He still uses words like tov, so I'm not sure of that.
Because the Taz has a different, his idea about mitosfo adiorin.
Oh, you mean that, right, the Taz has the business of whether if people are added, then you need to add to it. That everybody actually has, no? The Taz's point is about making a tnai from the beginning. Okay. It only needs to appear to be whole. It does, meaning when I say that, I'm not talking again. I'm not talking about the toothpick issue, but rather what we say is that in the event that you removed some, but it's a quantity which people understand the removal and don't view it as being defective, then it's still okay. And that's the Gemara on Pei Aleph Amud Aleph. Source Chav Dalet, Amar Yochanan ben Shaul, Nitla Hemena Kedei Chalasa, if Shir Chala was removed, Ukedei Dimua, and the Shir of Dimua, which we have to explain, Ma'arvin Loba. You can use it for the Erev still. Now, the big question that comes up when you read this is, what in the world are you talking about? Essentially. So, this is problematic on two levels. One reason why it's problematic is the word Kedei. Right? Instead of saying nitla mena chala, it's okay. You said if you remove the quantity which is removed for chala, it sounds like what you removed was not hafrashas chala, but rather you're okay if you removed that quantity that would be chala, by which we mean 1/48 as the original shear chala. Okay, whether it's in Bashir or whatever.
That makes sense, that it can't mean actual Hana.
Not necessarily. Why do you think that?
Because it reveals when I'm talking. And in Eretz Yisrael, you can't be Mafresh Challah after you baked it. Right? Or, I mean, you can, but it's more problematic when it's Deraisa.
That's interesting. I haven't seen that argument brought.
Right. I mean, you basically could.
Yeah.
But
it's not supposed to be.
Right, I mean, it's much like we are makbid because it's chutzlars, but Rabbi Yochanan fil chachila.
I haven't seen anybody use that as the argument. And maybe because
I don't know who Rabbi Yochanan Shaul is.
Yeah, it may not be the same. It's definitely not the same Rabbi Yochanan. I just don't know where he is.
I don't know.
Yeah, I haven't seen that brought as the argument. And I think, given that the language is nital, it's also not a chachila language. So therefore, it's entirely possible this was a bit the other case. I wouldn't bring in a from that. But that's the challah. That's one question, is the word kedei is funny. And then the other question is dimua. Dimua, meduma, is a term we usually use for a mixture of truma and chulin, where truma got into the chulin. And we say that up until 100-fold chulin, the mixture is called meduma, and it's all treated like truma. However, if you have 100 measures of chulin to the one of truma, then the truma is batel. So it sounds like kidei dimua is 1%, essentially. It's 1 out of 101, really. But that's what it sounds like you're saying. And the problem is, if you already told me that removing 1/48, right, a little more than 2%, is fine, why would you need to mention kidei dimua? Removing less than 1% is fine. If you can get away with more than 2%, obviously you can get away with less than 1%. So the machlokis between the Rishonim, between Tosfos and the Rashba, in terms, and I think Rashi is with Tosfos, in how to read this. We have 3 minutes. Let's see if we can do this quickly. I'm going to say it outside, but I brought you Tosfos and the Rashba here in Chav Hei and Chav Vav. The view of Tosfos is that this is actually removed for those purposes. Meaning you actually were mataking the dough, and that's why people won't get angry, because they know you removed it in order that this should be kosher bread. That's why they're okay with a non-whole thing. And that affects how Tosus explains both of those in the Gemara. Tosus says that as far as dimua, you say, well, why do we need to mention it? The answer is because if someone might have said to you, why did you remove it? Just give it to a Kohen. What's the big deal? You need to remove anything from it. You could have used a whole loaf. And then you had other options besides pulling off some of the bread. As far as the word kidei, he says the point of saying kidei is to teach you that when you separate challah from it, you can only do the sheer challah. You can't do extra. Because if you do extra, people will be angry. You shouldn't have separated extra. That's the way Tosfos reads it. And therefore, what Tosfos says is, if the piece is missing some, and it was sheer challah, but it was separated for some other purpose, it's no good. The Rashba, on the other hand, disagrees, and the Rashba I brought you in Chavav, and he says, no. What it's saying is, as long as it's within those shiurim, you're good. Dimua, okay, so kidei means it's about the shear, not that it's actually removed for challah. Then what do you do with dimua? So he says, dimua actually means hafrashas truma. It means separating truma, because the normal case of dimua involves truma. It's not talking about mixtures that contain truma and chulin. It's talking about what you separate for truma. So the average shear to remove for truma is 1/50.
Not so far
from, which is not far off from 1/48. So 1/48, 1/50, you're still fine. That's what the Gemara was saying. The Chazon Ish offers another approach to explain dimua for the Rashba. He says, if you're dealing with rice bread, there's no shear for challah. It's the Chazon Ish is Kuf Aleph base. He says, then there's no shear for challah, and therefore you need dimua as your shear for missing dough. In other words, there's no such thing as shear challah. So it's shear challah for when you separate challah, and it's shear dimua if you're not separating challah. Yeah. That's the Chazon Ish's approach. As a matter of psak, the Russian Erevin Zion Yud Beis brings both approaches, but seems to favor the Rashba's logic in the end. The Karban Esanel notes that if it's Lechem Mishnah and you want to consider it whole, only removal for challah is acceptable. You can't say I removed it for something else other than challah. It had to be for actual challah. The Shulchan Aruch and the Mishnah Berurah. The Shulchan Aruch is in Shin Samach Vav Vav. The Mishnah Berurah in Shin Samach Vav Mem Ches follow the Rashba. It need not have been removed for that purpose. So that's the upshot of it. We define We say to use whole loaves of bread. We went through the Gemara on that. We said bread does not necessarily mean hamotzi. It just means that which people identify as bread, the anchor of their meal. Even pasta baba kistin works, as well as these other materials that are made into bread. The whole loaf requirement, we said, is a function of eva slash hakpada, depending on how you take it. The kilkel we're concerned about is that everyone will come to you slices. We're generally worried about this. There are cases where we ignore eva concerns, such as rolls of different sizes, or where one person is mezakeh for everybody, at least according to one view, and potentially also according to one view where one person is the one who's being ma'arev. In terms of defining whole, we say it has to remain whole. Machlok is how long? Maril, just to hanacha, shochan arach, till the first Shabbos starts, and then the Magen Avraham, quoting the Maram Rutenberg, that the heter actually doesn't work at all, whether it's because kol shehu means it has to be whole, or whether it's because it requires, because we're not doing a shita that worked for them when they were doing shita as well as eruv, and it needs to appear to be whole, but we have some leeway. Either, according to Tosfos, if you separated challah, you're fine, or according to the Rashba, if you separated the shear, that normally would be for challah, because people don't know any better and they assume that that's what you did it for. Okay.